Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 431. Hey now, you're an all-star, conversational star, mute shoes on Twitter.
Oh god, how dare you, Fuzz? What are you doing? How could you even wear those? Because, like, my feet are so broad, I could never wear those brand of shoes.
I saw one tweet that I found quite amusing. It was like, well, I'm not going to buy those because they have no arch support, says every furry over the age of 27.
Very true. So, by the way, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And Shiva is at Furry Siesta managing the vendor hall setup tonight, where we will also both be this weekend.
Yay!
I'll be there tomorrow and Saturday, and Fuzz, you'll be there Saturday.
Yep.
So, impromptu con, where everyone will be, but everyone will be working in their own way, too.
Yeah. So, I'm at the day job tomorrow, and last night, Siesta was like, we had a dealer drop out. Does anyone want this spot? And I was like, hey, Saverin, could you do me a big favor? Because it's only $50 for the table. And I'm like, it's local, and we don't have a ton of stock on hand, but we have enough for, like, a single table two-day event. We don't have a lot of stock because we're just back from Anthrocon 2 weeks ago, and, you know. Or a week ago. How long has it been?
It's been 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks. We've also been working on filling a lot of orders in the meantime.
Yeah.
So stock levels are starting to get depleted.
Yeah, and I'm guessing you probably haven't, like, restocked Sampikos and stuff.
No. I don't have any of the new Sampikos book. I've only got one copy of the new Vasuki book. I've got one copy of Nexus 9, which I'm actually unpacking with you because I'm like, hey, one copy plus a display. It's a small event.
I'll make it work. It's a 6-foot table. It'll be kind of like how I set it up at Arlington.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's just like they're laid out, there's some stood up.
Well, I've actually given you two of the tall racks. One will be for novels, one will be for comics and magazines.
Okay. As long as they fit on the table with me in the middle.
The table in the production room is the exact dimensions as the one at the con, because I actually asked Shiva how deep it was as well.
Okay, so that's good.
So I know that it will fit two tall racks side by side with probably about 4 to 6 inches of space between them.
People, that's where people can hand me the money behind the cage.
Yeah, or you can, like, set the cash box.
I'll make it work.
Cash box behind the table, yeah. But, yeah, so I haven't packed a whole lot. And, like, when I sat down and entered it into the spreadsheet, I was like, this isn't a whole lot of stuff. I should probably, like, throw additional stock at you. So right now my idea is that I will send you on your merry way with the stock I've already prepared. And then you can message me at the end of Friday and be like, hey, we sold out of X and Y title, and so we have additional spaces or whatever. And I can be like, cool, and maybe throw another box together and bring it with me when I go down there Friday night.
Okay. So, yeah, Furry Siesta, it's this weekend. I'll be sure to get this episode edited and out there before I head out in the morning.
Yeah, like, I'm enjoying this sudden being thrust back into the FurryCon lifestyle. You know, doing Anthrocon, doing this. I'm looking forward to Mephit at the end of August, beginning of September.
Yeah, I prepped my my bag and stuff. So it's like, oh yeah, I'm doing a con tomorrow. That's fun.
Yeah, yeah. We got a hotel room, so you can just stay there all weekend. And like, I was sort of like, I don't know if we should get a hotel because Ajax wanted to, and I was like, it's local. It's only like a 20-minute drive. And Tieran was like, go have a staycation. You know,
yeah.
Do this mini con for the weekend and have
fun. You don't have to do a bunch of networking. You don't have to, like, schmooze with people. You can just go and chill, and they have a nice pool.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that.
Ajax mentioned that, too. And, yeah, I may hit the pool. We could take turns behind the table. We'll run around and do stuff, you know. I'm not going to make it a big high-pressure event. It's not an intercon.
It's a 6-foot table. there's not a lot to...
Yeah, this will be our low-key chill con. And, like, I think I know at least one of the other dealers, Noxie,
okay,
is in there.
Yeah, I don't know who all's going to be there, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, though, furry stuff and...
Right, the discourse.
The discourse. So, as I'm sure anybody that's on furry Twitter has understood and known, Argentina, there was a Converse shoes ad featuring fursuiters.
Yeah, it was released in two countries. It was Argentina and another country. I think the furs themselves are from Argentina.
Yeah, which... South America has a robust furry community with some very talented artists and fursuit makers, so it's not a really big surprise.
Right.
And, you know, the Argentinian Converse ad agency probably like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, they apparently, the Converse approached them and asked them if they would do this, and they jumped to the opportunity. So it's basically, it's a handful of fursuiters that are wearing Converse shoes instead of their foot paws. It just kind of posed modelishly at a place.
So, my brain saw that, and I immediately kind of drew a parallel, but an incorrect one, to, like, the Fashion Fur Collective, right?
Right, yeah.
But the distinct difference that I'm going to put here, because I don't want people being like, oh, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Where it's like, this is an outside ad agency going to furries and saying, hey, we'd like to market with furry imagery versus fashion furs being, hey, it's a bunch of furries who want to do fashion related stuff and putting it together in a collaboration.
I mean, it has
the comparison. It's in-group versus out-group.
It's fashion photography.
Yeah.
You know, it's furries and fashion, so it's similar in that regard.
It has been really unfortunate, though, because people that would otherwise be very ideologically aligned have been at each other's fucking throats.
Yeah, blocking each other.
And just like, holy shit, y'all. Like, real bad faith. Like, says, if you have a X persona, how dare you care about, like, brands and the fandom? I'm like, that's not how that fucking works. Or it's like...
Ooh, we're going that way. Okay.
Look, personally, I see, before any further discussion, I see this as neutral to bad. It is Converse, who they kind of latch on to whatever of the moment. Like, during Pride Month, they did shoes that with like, rainbows, and you could get the trans flag, or the bi flag, or the pan flag versions of their shoes for $100. So, I mean, it was
That's actually not abnormally high for Converse.
So, no, it's not. But I'm just saying that, like, they come in, hit a thing, they, like, kind of throw their spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks, and, like, they just kind of use whatever. So...
I can only assume that it doesn't cost them a lot of money to throw out to like, oh, let's do a green pair for St. Patrick's Day or something like that.
And
I don't know what their production line
is. I'm sure they've got production stuff all over the world, and getting like colored canvas is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Just a matter of like what array you're going to put it in, and like the rubber for the sole or whatever. I'm like, I saw the shoes during Pride Month, and I'm like, that's kind of cool. But also... rainbow capitalism, so I kind of took a little more cynical thing. It's like, it's not something that dominated the discourse either.
Right.
Like, I saw people that were like,
it's dominating our discourse, because compared to the gays, furry is a much smaller populated space, so any little ripple in our pool has a much bigger effect.
Yeah, plus, you know, we had a lot of discussion about, like, rainbow capitalism and stuff during Pride Month, where we see, you know, Pride brought to you by Verizon, unlimited data for your hookup apps. Snatch that wig, sis. You know.
Right.
Alongside the people trying to sanitize.
I wish that was a real ad.
Where we had the sanitizing Pride discourse and the brand discourse, and it was this mess. And
I think I was kind of neutral on it, because, like, there's the plus and minus of it is, like, yeah, we're a commodity. We're trying to market to us, just like they're trying to market to every other group of people. But at the same time, you think of, like, that queer kid in some small to mid-sized town or city walking through the mall and sees fucking rainbows everywhere on June 1st.
True.
You know? And, like, that means a lot to them. And it's sort of like, hey, I'm a people. You know?
I'm a people that is worth marketing at. We are a significant enough demographic that companies see us as potential revenue streams.
Which is
Validating in a way.
Which is validating, and it's also the complete opposite of we want to round up all these people and put them on their own island.
Very true.
You know, which is what they used to say about gays. Oh, they should just send them all to their own island. So.
Yeah. There's this Greek island called Lesbos.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this furry thing, like, it's not even airing in the U.S. Like, the U.S. got, like, bikers. And honestly, and I mean, like, I'm not sure if it was, like, bicyclists or motorcycle people.
Usually when they say bikers, they mean motorcycles.
And in both cases, Converse shoes are ill-suited for both.
Mm.
Because you want leather boots for a motorcycle, and you want comfortable cycling shoes with arch support for bicycling.
Mm.
So, like, okay.
It's on your day off, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In any event, though, it has been, I wouldn't say distressing, it's been annoying seeing people get so fired up and stabby over it.
Y'all are seriously going to make me mute shoes on Twitter just so that I don't see this conversation anymore. It was just irritating me seeing how angry people, the arguments about it were more annoying to me than the actual ad.
I mean, I see the ad as, like I said, it's benign to eh. I mean, the biggest thing is, to me, when people try to use that as a validation of the fandom. Like, oh, well, this company wants to market to the fandom, therefore we're real and going mainstream. I mean, world enough to have been in the fandom back when, like, the How to Draw Furries books. Remember those?
Yep. Yep.
That was new, and they were selling those things at Michael's, and everyone was like, oh, no, the normies are going to get into furry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not like DeviantArt hadn't existed since 2004?
So, like, I've been in the fandom 21 years, and I could say at least for that time, I have seen the sky is falling down, the fandom's going mainstream, it's all over argument. Again and again and again, you know, with the infamous CSI episode, the article in Vanity Fair.
Which was like 2003, which was 2001.
Yeah.
The MTV one, I think, was 99.
Yeah. That was like 2000, 2001. The Daily Show one was like 99.
The original How to Draw Furries book that, quote unquote, was mainstream came out literally 10 years ago.
Right. And, you know, oh, and Zootopia. A lot of people were like, yeah, furries flocked to it and loved it. But there were people being like, oh, this is going to bring in a whole new generation of furries. Yay. And then there was the people that were like, ugh, this is going to be when, like, AOL brought all of the bums onto the internet. That anybody can be a furry now.
Hey, I'm old enough to remember when websites would discriminate against you if you had an at AOL email address.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I had to, like, set up a tripod email address to register for a MUD once.
And here's the thing that I was – okay, so
– also, Taps had that rule. You couldn't have an AOL address.
That's right. And I was like, oh, why? I wonder why that is. I didn't have an AOL address. Mine was worse. I was on web TV. I didn't even have a computer when I got online.
But, you know, that was, you know, we're talking about entryism and, like, gatekeeping and stuff. That was totally a thing.
Right, yeah.
When
and so I want to lay out a couple of points. Before I do, I want to say that I do not have fully informed opinion on this because this has been a very busy week at work. I have like two books to lay out at personal job. We're going to a con. I have to do Q2 royalties. I am very, very busy. And this blew up on a day that I could not get Twitter to load properly on my phone. So I've not even seen every argument. I've not had the mental bandwidth to actually deal with it. So I've talked to a couple people and I've gotten some other points of view. And like, and I've read a couple of the tweet threads. But I'm like, I'm thinking that I remember goths complaining when Hot Topic came out. And, like, some people loved it, and they were like, oh, so cool, I can go to the mall, and I can just get, like, you know, a black
trench coat
or whatever. And then there was the other people that were like, oh, that's for the fake goth, you know? Or, like, you're not a real punk if you just buy your pre zippers all over it jacket from Forever 21 or something like that. You gotta find your beat up leather coat in a dumpster and sew all that shit on and punch all those rivets by yourself in order to be a quote unquote real punk. And they like in the goth community, it's like, you know, you got all that makeup, you got all that custom clothing and stuff like that. And it's sort of like, there are people that like maybe don't have the physical ability to do that kind of stuff, don't have the financial ability to get the like the custom shit and stuff like that. So like you go into sort of a ableist and money centric kind of things where you're cutting off people like that. And then you have something like Hot Topic pops up and it's like, oh, I could go in and drop a couple of bucks and get like black eyeshadow and a dress or whatever. And like some people pointed out, like you can go to Walmart and get one of those cheap $20 fursuit heads, and some crafty people have actually taken them, carved them around, and done some art and made like done different takes on them. But for like Babby's first fursuit, like, you know, you're 12, your parents are like, yeah, okay, kid, you want to be a cat, whatever.
Yeah. See, when you bring up those other like subcultures, it did sort of commodify them, but it also made them more accessible to people that just like the aesthetic. I was a mall goth when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Like, I was poor as shit. So I had some, like, Goodwill goth clothes, and I had some black, you know, my entire wardrobe was various shades of black. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I made do with what I could, but I know I did save up to get one of those cool-ass, like, canvas goth trench coats from Hot Topic one time. I had to, like, hem it up because it was so long and I'm short. But, you know, it made those things accessible, but it didn't necessarily destroy the scene. Like, I was never a part of that scene. I just liked the aesthetic. So, like, I can't speak to say that if, you know, things like Hot Topic or, like, well, I mean, hell, consider things like Zumiez or other, like, skater-related things. Mm-hmm. That didn't necessarily destroy skateboarding any more than, like, ordinances against skateboarding in public places did. People can, you can still buy that shit. You can get kids, like, there's, like, Journeys and then Journey Kids, where it's like you can dress your little 7-year-old like a skater when they, I mean, honestly, skating when you're younger is fine because your bones will heal faster.
Right, yeah. But,
you know, it's the commodification of aesthetic, but that really kind of can't happen with furry. Mm-hmm. To a degree. Like, obviously, you know, we draw a lot of our fandom's bullshit from outside media, from brands, mm-hmm. but we're not having, like, Anthrocon brought to you by Bank of America. You know, we're not getting
to you by Disney.
Yeah.
You know, makers of Zootopia, though. That zoo you love to drink. I mean, I don't know. it's like
an energy like drink or something. Fruitopia.
Yeah.
Like Zootopia.
It's Zootopia, like, yeah.
Judy Hopp's bathwater.
Put a hop in your stuff. But that's it. Contact Caffeine gets bought by Disney. And
there we go.
Judy Hopp's and like, you know, put a bunny hop in your stuff with our new caffeinated bath wash.
You know, I think the sanitization is like the attempt to sanitize, because that's what brands want to do. They want to make the fandom squeaky clean and palatable to the general public, aka and shareholders.
But there are furries who have been trying to do that for 30, 40 years.
Oh, yeah. Now. And it's not a space that's, there are people that are going to be like, oh, I want to seek validation from a brand, but I don't see any particular brand getting there. Right? Remember when we had the Zweisich or whatever luxury branded fursuit discourse for like 2 days?
Yeah.
Where that guy was like, oh, you can buy my not really bespoke fursuits with like the weird face branding, and everybody laughed them out. Because the fandom is pretty resistant to that, I think.
Pretty ruthless to any perceived form of capitalism.
Well, like,
and that person was a fucking furry.
Yeah.
They just hired the wrong marketing people to handle their shit. And, like, I actually feel kind of bad for them, you know? Because I don't know if, like, their reputation will bounce back from that or if they'll be forever known as for
this
that.
This Converse ad, like, it's not in North America. The reason we know about it is that someone who was involved in it very excitedly put it on Twitter.com.
Yeah.
And, like, hey, guys, check out this cool thing that I was involved in. And, like, nuclear fireball.
Yeah, like, I have a real problem with people that, like, came at that person with guns blazing. I mean, yeah, it's okay to have concerns. I think that is completely valid, and it's a conversation worth having. But to flat out, like, attack the guy who was in the pictures with his group of friends is, like,
yeah,
no.
It seems very unnecessary. It is a valid concern of companies trying to come in and colonize, but I also don't... They've been trying for a really long time, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the thing. Is it like, oh, are we going to see so-and-so brought to you by Monster? And I was like, this has already happened.
That happened at FWA, Energy Drinks 09.
Already sponsored more than one con. I want to say it was Red Bull at FWA.
No, it was some energy drink. And I remember this year because we were both there.
Yeah.
And I was drinking way too fucking many of those things.
And didn't they have like a barrel right next to our dealer's table?
So this, whatever company had this, they had like literal horse troughs full of ice and free energy drinks. And
so I'm remembering it like a barrel, like one of those big-ass gray trash cans
that
was full of ice.
It was like that. But they were literally like, hey, you want some energy drinks? And people went to the hospital because of this.
Yeah. And I think it also happened at another con, and I can't remember it specifically. I'm thinking maybe BLFC, maybe like, MCFC. I thought MCFC had a beer
MCFC sponsor. Had a beer sponsor.
Yeah.
Up in Motor City, yeah, Michigan. They had, like, a local brewery that was like, yeah, sure. I mean, shit, I think it'd be kind of neat if we could get, like, Cidercade to donate some machines and also have, like, a cider thing for adult furries who can drink.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, that's not, like... That's working with an outside brewery that's bringing their product and shit to the con in exchange for also bringing, like, their arcade machines and not a international ad campaign.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, you know, con sponsored by blah has already happened.
Yeah.
And that's, very common outside the fandom, which is a very commercialized, heavily marketed space. Like, yeah, people are right to kind of worry. And, like, when you do look at Comic-Con... Years ago, it used to be the industry networking place, like sort of like the way Worldcon is, where you would go to like meet comic writers and artists, and publishers would interact with them and stuff like that. And now it's basically the
pop
movie
culture.
Studios and the TV studios are going to show you what their new shit is, and here's where to buy the new My Little Pony exclusive and the Doctor Who exclusive and stuff like that. But, I mean, even if that did happen with Furry, it's not like the other cons would just go away, you know? Like, there hasn't been... Not every other comic convention in the country has just died because... A few big companies run chains, like small local events.
Yeah, they're like
still happen.
I'm gonna put out something I was at. You know, ArlingCon, right? It's a small community run by like the students at UTA, and it's not a sponsored thing. It's free to get into, but it's still a comics event, and still has cosplay, still has the trappings of a small Comic-Con, and it's not run by anybody.
Yeah.
Whereas you have, like, the Dallas Comic-Con, which is run by some fuck-huge mega-conglomerate that charges you out the ass to stand in line for hours and hours, and it's at, like, horrible venues like the Irving Convention Center, which looks like a giant fucking rusting hunk of metal, which I hate.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell.
I have opinions about venues. I was also... Remember that we were there that one year, and then the massive long escalator broke? Maybe it was one that I was there and you weren't. But
I know the year,
like,
we went was John Delancey and Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, but I think it was there another time, and that massive, huge escalator that goes up to, like, the fourth floor, it broke.
Oh, shit.
And so, like, you had to climb up four floors of escalator to get up to that next area where all, like, the event space was.
Yeah, I think that's kind of an engineering misstep to make an escalator that tall.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why you often see malls have, like,
zigzag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just that one massively long, easily breakable thing that when it breaks becomes stairs, but also very, very long stairs that are single file. Yeah. So anyways, I think the fandom will be fine. I don't think that this whole deal with the brands and the conflict that is engendered in the fandom is healthy. People busted out the knives immediately. Yeah. Like, I blocked a couple people that followed me on Twitter because they were just being such fuckheads. I'm like, you know what? You are being insanely rude to this other person I follow over an opinion. I don't need you. Like, I don't get validation from followers, and you are just being too much of a dick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Twitter is bad enough without, like, furries claws out, you know, on Twitter.com. But that's just my opinion. Like, look, the fandom is going to survive this. Like, obviously, we need to be vigilant, but this Argentinian ad campaign is not, like, the death knell of the fandom anymore than a character being a furry on a cartoon or South Park or...
Like, we've been in fucking Family Guy. I mean...
Oh, I'm a squirrel. This feels great. Vroom, vroom. You know? I mean, furry cons... Well, hell, there was the Bob's Burger Equestronauts, which they made fun of. There was, like, the brony con thing.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, it's like... It's just whatever the fandom of the moment is. I mean, and the thing is, like, the fandom now has a far better public opinion than it ever has.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at all the fawning articles about Anthrocon in the Pittsburgh press.
Yeah, I mean, there was a – I saw a couple tweets going around of some fursuiters who were at AX got into the most recent issue of Otaku USA, which is an anime magazine.
Okay.
And they were at Anime Expo in fursuit, and they got photographed, and their pictures ended up inside the magazine.
Huh.
Because they were like, holy shit, these costumes are really good.
Yeah.
And they had these really good anime-ass bunnies, mm-hmm. but they were fursuits, and they had really good ears, mm-hmm. so they're like super tall.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I saw so Comic-Con is going on this weekend, and
yeah.
I saw Lisa Hannawalt tweet, "Hey, if anyone sees any Tuca and Birdie costumers at Comic-Con, send me their pictures." And I'm like, "Well, that's fucking gonna be bird fursuiters there, you know, feather suiters. I don't know,
burb suiters,
burb suiters." Yeah.
So now I think we can shift because we've discussed this topic for. We're at nearly 30 minutes raw.
Oh my god.
You know, it's the discourse du jour.
Yeah.
But shifting to Uncanny Valleys and furries.
Mm-hmm.
The movie Cats.
I've not seen the trailer.
I have seen parts of the trailer. I have only seen stills. So
apparently
don't expect
the trailer is better than the stills. Like people said when they saw the stills, they were like, "No," but when they saw the trailer, they were somewhat alleviated.
Like, I'm not going to say that don't really have strong opinions one or the other than, like, you know, they look a little creepy.
The only thing I have an opinion about is that I think it's a really bad move to open on the same day as Star Wars Episode 9. It's sort of like, we've decided we want our movie to fail. And people are saying that there's maybe not like a big crossover between those audiences.
Very true.
And I'm like, I guess maybe one is like going to be like a theater geeks thing. But I'm like, come on, dude. CGI cats?
CGI cats with some very, very expensive actors. Dame Judi Dench, Sir Ian McKellen, Taylor Swift, Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are some very expensive actors playing, you know, prestige roles that would probably have done these on the stage at some point. But, like, I will admit, they, like, slapped human faces with human noses and human teeth and lips onto furry bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They run around, like, shaped like humans, but then also they're cat-sized. So there's this really creepy still mm-hmm. of, like, this human-faced cat person with ridiculously oversized fork and knife that just looks bizarre.
Huh.
And these are stills that I've seen. Like, there's another one, it's like Ian McKellen. It's very obviously Ian McKellen, but he's got whiskers and cat ears at the top of his head.
Sounds awesome.
Like, it could very well be a very faithful rendition of the musical Cats.
That's so cool.
I tweeted the, or I tooted it onto Mastodon, it's now still online, uh-huh. as Sir Ian McKitten.
Aww. Yeah. That's awesome. So, what amused me earlier today was there is a person who has a verified Twitter account, and I don't remember what their at is, but so they got the little verified check, right? And they changed their icon to the Cats movie icon, and they changed their display name to Cats movie. So at a glance, it looks like the official legit Cats movie Twitter account. And then they tweeted, the Cats movie will be hyper-realistic, and yes, they will have spined penises. So you kind of do this double take, like, wait, what? So I have a story to share with you, Saverin.
Oh, okay.
That I don't know if I've ever told you this, actually.
Well.
So my elementary school did Cats when I was in the 5th or 6th grade. So I would have been 10 or 11 years old, right? And as a child, before my voice broke, I was in chorus. And I was considered very talented at the time. And I haven't had my singing ability evaluated since then. I somehow doubt it's as good as it was before. But so we did Cats. And everyone has to be in costume.
Uh-huh.
So my mom made me a cat costume.
You're a kitty.
So I was a 10-year-old fursuiter.
Cool. You're ahead of the curve. The other 10-year-old fursuiters that we occasionally see at cons nowadays.
Right. I told Tyrion, he's like, so you lied to me about never having had a fursuit. I was like, yeah, I guess I did. But yes, I've been a fursuiter. She made me a tail in years. And,
cute.
But, yeah. So I have a close personal connection to this. But I'll still be seeing Star Wars.
Yeah, I will see Star Wars before I see Cats. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, but like I still remember the lyrics to like a bunch of the songs and stuff like that because we practiced for weeks before we did it for the audience of parents and family members.
So I think we can move on to another topic, which is fun in the quitters. So the New York Times.
I bet you Bad Drag is going to make a bunch of special cat themed penises now.
I'm sure they already have them.
Well, I know they do, but they're going to make one specifically colored after the cat's characters and stuff. I know they will. It's sort of like the main six. They're, like, they're not really the main six, but well, totally like, fuck Rainbow Dash.
I think their current ad, their deal of the week is the Demogorgon, which is based off the monster from Stranger Things.
Right, yeah.
So, like, they'll have one handy. It'll happen.
You could fuck this horrifying child-killing monster in the mouth.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like, because it doesn't have, like, the weird, like, petal head thing that opens up. Instead, they just make one of the fuck tubes with that around the mouth. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah. Like, if you like a little pain with your pleasure, they can put little tips on them so that the teeth can actually grip into your pubic area while you fuck.
Don't do that, Bad Dragon. Swear to God.
Maybe I shouldn't be a sex toy designer.
No. So this is a fun article from the New York Times. The New York Times has completely failed in its record of being the paper of record of trying to shine a light in the darkness and fight for the American way. So they just do dumb wet brained takes constantly.
Can I say right quick, like, I'm in one of those sweating guy with the two red buttons meme situation right now, because it's like sort of like we really need a free and open press, you know, to like shine a light on, you know, the horrors that our government is doing, and, you know, the president is very anti-media, and that's a sign of fascism, and we need to support our journalists. And then the other button is, what stupid hot take will the New York Times have? Why does no mainstream journalist just grow a spine and be like, the president's a fucking racist? They're just, you know, well, he said all these people should go back to their own countries, but let's look at both sides of the issue. And it's like, come the fuck, like, I'm like, the media is important, but they are failing us so hard. They failed us in 2016 with their election coverage of, let's look at shit that Hillary said before she was born. And, oh, look at Trump. He's such a good, but he's going so far. Let's pat his disheveled head. And they're going to fail us again in fucking 2018. Or with
2020.
With the midterms, they're going to fail us again in 2020. Because they're sort of like, hey, Biden, he's our man. If he can do it, nothing changes. As opposed to, like, actually people be like, no, but all these other people. Anyway, so, like, the fucking media, man, but go ahead and tell me about their their new,
their moist,
lukewarm take.
Their hard-hitting journalisms. Well, in this particular case is an article on the New York Times about...
What have the millennials killed today, Saverin? Tell me all.
Millennials are killing podcasts.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, this one. Right.
So this particular article is from the New York Times, and it's talking to your average mediocre white woman who decided that in 2016, she and a friend of her, in a literal quote, an effort to push their brands, decided to do a podcast called The Advice Podcast, and they recorded it on their iPhone 5s.
In the public reading room of a library.
Yes, which are very good for acoustics. I'm not sure. At all like a... kitchen, like we're recording here.
Yeah, because we're professionals.
We're professionals. And in this particular case, they stopped after 6 episodes.
They really put their full effort in.
Yeah, so in 2016, Morgan Mariotta and Lester Lee, two freelance writers looking to grow their personal brands, they weren't doing it just because they wanted to. They're like, no, we must promote ourselves. We will become the new darlings of the internet age.
Hey,
like,
this looks easy. You should try it.
Yeah. They called it The Advice Podcast and put about as much energy into the show's production as they did the name. After all, no one was paying them for this. Each week, the friends, either of whom had professional experience dispensing advice, met in a free room at the local library and recorded themselves chatting with an iPhone 5. We assumed we'd be huge, have affiliate marketing deals and advertisements, Miss Mandriotta said. But 6 episodes in, when neither Casper Mattresses nor MeUndies had come knocking, the friends quit. Today, Miss Mandriotta says the same DIY spirit that made having a podcast alluring is precisely what doing the project. And it's this... like, this was funny to me because, obviously, this is episode 431 of this show. We've been doing it for the past nearly 12 years now.
You know, MeUndies still hasn't called us.
That's because we not reached out to them. And the thing is, that's true. I don't want that. Like, it would be, like, on one hand, ooh, if we could make money doing shit like Last Podcast Boys or Chapo Guys. On the other hand, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's like, more than a full-time job. This is Last Podcast hobbying. Has, like, a bunch of employees now.
And managers, and they do tours. Like, Henry's managing, juggling his shit in L.A. while also doing the show. Like, he's acting and stuff while also, like, taking time out to go on tour to, like, Australia and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, a week in a bus going all over creation, like, doing shows every night.
Wow.
That doesn't sound like... I mean, that sounds like it'd be fun for a while, but then also seems like it would just drive you into the fucking dirt.
It sounds like it would be awesome if I was 22.
Yeah. Like, you and Shiva and I could not do that if we wanted to. Like, we could maybe do shows at a con if we wanted, if we had, like, a more structured show. But we literally, we have a Telegram chat where we throw in things we want to talk about a couple days before the show, and then we just wing it.
No, we got to prepare a slideshow with videos, last knot on the left.
One for me, one for you, or it's like, here's a cute video of puppy. Here's a furry, like, poodling and then getting attacked by a dog, you know? It's like, no. That's not how we roll. No. And so I was just amused because, like, of all the podcast-related things that people can talk about, they chose to talk about this failure of a people that gave up after 6 episodes because they didn't immediately get a brand deal from Casper Mattresses.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
And I honestly don't even know how much that shit pays. I mean, I guess it does something for the really big people like Last Podcast.
Yeah, but like, even at our, like, broadest fucking appeal, we were getting maybe $100 a month from the dildos. And that was, like, we just kind of stopped doing that because it wasn't worth it. We'd rather just talk about the shit we want to talk about. And, you know, the Patreon is nice.
Well, we were also talking about dicks and sex a lot more back then, so it was it was
appropriate.
Lead-in.
Now it'd be like, hey, we're talking about this horrible shit that happened in the government, and also let's talk about some porn parodies.
Right, yeah. You know, like, I mean, maybe if there was something where, like, you could buy, like, a model of Donald Trump and fuck him in the mouth.
But why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I just thought it was funny because
the sight of him would make me limp. I would just be like pushing rope, you know, just trying to shove your dick in there.
There's so many successful podcasts out there that cover a million different things. Like, there's like This Week in World, there's one that's like about week to week history of World War One, where like talk about this week there was a horrible battle in France and a bunch of people died. Mm-hmm. And, like, they talk about, like, what was going on in the world and the history of that time. They're like, My Favorite Murder and Last Podcast, the truth crime stuff. You got a dozen video game podcasts that cover a million different, like, angles of the stuff.
Dollop and Behind the Bastards.
You know, you've got Chapo. You've got the NPR stuff, Pod Save America for the shit libs.
Darren listens to that. you're like, anyway, are they too centrist for you?
They're pretty centrist.
I haven't listened to the show myself. But
then again... You know,
yeah, it's like
I'm just kind of like wood chipper the Republicans and start working on the Democrats.
It's like one of the hosts like worked on Obama's campaigns and stuff like that.
Yeah, like they're very much establishment Dems, but whatever, you know, like there's a million different podcasts out there and lots of people making money doing it or just doing it because they want to. I mean, we started this so long ago and we just never shut up.
Right. We started on a joke. We didn't do it for money.
We weren't doing it for the clout.
For all of the fame.
I mean, it is nice to run into people and be like, oh, I listen to you all the time. Oh, or yeah, I used to listen to you when I was a kid. And I'm like, not anymore, huh? You know?
No, I grew up.
I don't ever ask that follow-up.
I put like, away I childish things.
You know, look. We do this because we want to, not because we're getting famous. And, like, if we stopped doing it, we would have to find something else to do with our Thursday nights. And that's, like... Oh my god, changing our routine.
Dude, I'm 43. Sleep would be what I would be doing if I wasn't doing this.
All right.
Hit me, what else we got?
Well, this is cool. This is literally medical science telling you what every trans person has said in a very, very long time.
I saw that headline. I haven't heard the
article. So the Dutch followed up with 6,793 trans people, 4,432 birth sign male, 2,361 birth sign female, who had visited their national gender clinic over 43 years and published their findings, confirming everything trans people ever told you. Basically, mm-hmm. when trans people get treatment for their dysphoria via hormones or SRS or anything like that, their quality of life dramatically increases. And 99%, I believe, of people say that way. They're like, holy shit, I transitioned and I'm happy. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is pretty much what anyone who's trans tells you this.
Right.
You have online TERFs going like, oh, you know, you'll regret this. How should you know? You might want to change your mind in a few years and then you'll be sad that you... chopped your dick off or whatever, or you took your tits off. And this is like the language they use.
Like our cyberpunk future, those parts would be plug and play.
Yeah, anyway. Hot swappable, you know. Yeah. From 1972 to 2015. How awesome
would that be like if you'd have like kinky nights, you're like, hey baby, tonight I don't want you to fuck me with my dick.
Ooh.
You chunk can hand it to them. Yeah.
Hey, that's a cyberpunk feature I want. You know, if I can't be...
God damn, that sounds like a porn editor.
If you can't just, you know, like, put my brain in a cyber body that's, like, infinitely reconfigurable, mm-hmm. give me, like, reconfigurable cyber bits. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
This also was similarly confirmed by the UK. Mm-hmm. The NHS did, a gender identity, like, thing for theirs, and their desistance rate was literally... They had a much smaller sample size... But over a still number of years, of the, 393 people, only one person detransitioned, who then later went back and retransitioned. Mm-hmm. So it's like, again, trying to second guess trans people when they go, when they're, like, trying to get themselves feeling comfortable in their own skin. Don't fucking do that, okay? Like, a trans person knows more about their body than you fucking do. And if people are, like, get the medical treatment they need, they'll be far happier, far less likely to harm themselves or kill themselves, and generally be far more productive in society. It's kind of amazing that if you treat people not like shit, they do better. It's amazing.
I love, and by love I mean what the fuck is wrong with you. The fact that people are like, well... Of course, being trans is horrible. Look how many of them kill themselves. It's like, yeah, because assholes like you are telling them that they're all like, fucked up /going to hell.
You're flipping the script here.
It's like, dude, get a sense of causality. I mean...
like, The world is so hard to them, they kill themselves. Yes, because you're part of that world being hard to them, you dumb shit.
This is not a chicken and egg situation. This is a fairly easy A to B linearity, you know?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, when you said there was a study in the UK, I was like, oh, I bet that made all the TERFs in the UK happy.
So the results in the Dutch one over 43 fucking years, mm-hmm. a 0.6% of trans women and 0.3% of trans men who underwent gonadectomy, aka took out the ovaries, took off the balls, uh-huh. were identified as experiencing regret. So overall, over 43 years, 0.9% of people in the Netherlands
right.
who they tracked in this longitudinal study experienced regret.
Yeah, less than 1%.
So one, that's really cool that science has basically confirmed what any trans person who has transitioned and said, hey, I'm a lot happier now, will tell you. And also, no shit. But it's nice to have it confirmed. It's like, okay, the data set says this.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's like there's a lot of these studies that come out, not just about trans, but in general, that are like, hey, scientists say that this. And everyone is like,
yeah.
Yeah. But like, here's the thing, though, is that like real science, you actually need like a long time in most cases and a good amount, a large amount of subjects to study. So like, yeah, it might be common knowledge. It might be obvious. But, you know, before they can actually force change or anything, they need to have evidence. So, like, they needed hard evidence before they could force cigarette companies to put the warning labels
yeah.
on them. Everyone knew that smoking was bad and smoking caused lung cancer. But they needed to do real science and have, like, a really long trail of evidence.
Speed limits and seat belts and mm-hmm. things like...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, lots of things. I'm, like, drawing a blank right now. Where it's like they had to finally be like, yeah, actually, this shit's bad, so you shouldn't do it. And they're like, oh, fine. Mm-hmm. Well, hell, I think asbestos was one of those things.
Yeah.
Or, like, having children's baby clothing that's flammable. It's like, so what if little Timmy, like, catches fire and this thing melts to his flesh, you know? It saves us a few cents. And they had to force that change, you know?
Yeah.
The really cool thing about this article is that it is freely downloadable. I'll make sure to include a...
Well, that's rare for a scientific study.
Yeah, it's a full-on study that gives you all their methodology. It's really, like... I saw that and I'm like, oh shit, really? And like, I looked through it and I'm like, this is lots of science.
Yeah.
But the conclusion being like, yeah, pretty much.
I bet Junius could read it.
Yeah, Junius could definitely. It didn't come up on the most recent Barking Points because she wasn't on it, but mm-hmm. I bet it will. But I thought that was really cool. So Area 51, Fuzz, are you going to, what do you hope that they find at Area 51 that is totally not a smokescreen to distract people from the Jeffrey Epstein stuff?
I hope they find David Duchovny being, you're probably wondering why I called you all here today.
Turns out aliens are real and they want to fuck you in the ass. Enough people have taken this meme to the extent that the army has basically had to have meetings. But, like, if people do show up, you might have to shoot them.
So here's the thing. So I didn't hear that it was a meme before today. I thought, because it's America. People are crazy. So I thought this was the thing that people were actually planning to do. Well,
I'm sure that there will be some Florida men who get there and do show up. Ugh. But it's not going to be half a million people.
It'll be a fucking
people.
Clive and Bundy type.
Yeah.
But, okay, so this is just another stupid 4chan thing that people started taking seriously?
Pretty much.
All right.
But, like, it's just one of those, like, wacky news stories that come out and distract you when it's like, oh, yeah, Epstein got rearrested and now they're going to, like, unseal these documents that basically reveal that our government and the elites literally
Trump
are...
Trump allegedly raped a 13-year-old.
Oh, no, not just that. Just, like, our entire, like, aristocracy in this country is a giant wad of pedophiles.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. It's like, this could take down Bill Clinton as much as it could take down Trump. Cool. Nail them all to the wall. You know? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I saw this tweet that was like, when Democrats do something bad, Dems, we condemn this. Republicans, we condemn this. When Republicans do something bad, Dems, we condemn this. Republicans, well, your guy did something bad too.
Pretty much.
And it's like, just the hypocrisy. And, like, I think the Republicans do evil, fucked up things because they assume everybody is.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, hey, everyone fucks children, so we'll do it too. And then they're like surprised that like Democrats are like, what the fuck? Dude, that no, that's not cool.
That's not cool at all.
You know?
So, like, the Area 51 thing...
And it's not even just fucking kids. It's taking bribes or any other government, or I'll throw a vote your way kind of thing. They just assume that both sides are doing it, and...
And the thing is, it does sound like this is fucking conspiracy theory talk, that...
Oh, there's a conspiracy about this conspiracy? Let me tell you this.
Oh, well, let's go down the rabbit hole further.
The conspiracy is that people started the Pizzagate conspiracy so that it would seem so over the top and so ludicrous that when the truth came out, it would seem like it was just a stupid Pizzagate conspiracy.
And honestly, I don't think that's very wrong.
Right. I mean, you've seen how this government, this administration... likes to misdirect with bullshit. So I can totally see some operative being like, let's start this wacky theory that Hillary Clinton had a pedophile ring in a pizza restaurant's basement, because they know that... Didn't they literally call Epstein's plane the Pussy Express?
No. The Lolita Express.
Oh God, that's even worse.
He has... a private island that the people that live there refuse to go near. Like, this guy traveled around the world on his fake European / Saudi Arabian
passport
that
right.
was recently
yeah,
found.
That's
like,
right.
Oh, it was
yeah.
never used.
It's his photo with a different name from a citizen of Saudi Arabia.
And like, oh, it was never used, but they flipped the fucker open and there's stamps.
I hadn't heard that.
They had stamps that he had traveled around the world with this fake passport doing God knows what. So, like, the thing is...
And it doesn't even have to be, like, all the fucking, although I'm sure that's a big part of it. I'm sure it was all illegal. It was probably embezzling and drug trafficking and people trafficking. I don't even know.
It literally is, like... I honestly don't believe that the conspiracy about the conspiracy is wrong. That they put this, oh, this is so wacky and fucking stupid out there, and we'll get the boomers believing it. And it ultimately got the guy, like, tried to shoot the place up once.
Yeah.
But
they don't care, because that's just collateral damage, because they're covering up their fucking pedophile ring.
But Epstein was arrested and did time briefly, and then like
it was like 2 years or
something like ridiculous, but they let him go to leave so he could go to work, so he had to spend like 1 day a week in prison, but it all still counted or something like that.
So stupid.
And like
if he wasn't a white dude,
and the NYPD didn't make him check in on for his like social worker thing,
because the cops are all his fucking buddies.
Exactly. And
but
like,
if he was poor or a drug addict,
yeah.
You know, it'd be Amish or trans.
Or anything other than a billionaire white guy.
Yeah.
Like, just. And now he's been arrested again and possibly being held on bail. Odds of him getting killed are extremely high. But the thing is, like, this dude, this Jeffrey Epstein dude, has been this international pedo with contacts that range from everywhere from the entertainment industry to the heights of politics. His black book got out there, like a copy of his black book, and it had everybody from, like, movie actors to Bobby fucking Kotick of EA, you know, and this is obviously well before he was like head of EA, but he was like a somebody back then.
Well, I mean, he's a billionaire. He's had money forever.
So it's like all his billionaire buddies like, oh yeah, Bill Clinton was in there, of course. But like also who fucking else knows? And we might find out. Well, Donald Trump, obviously. There's video.
Oh, and we know that Donald Trump flew on the plane a lot more than Bill Clinton did. And the times that Bill and or Hillary were on the plane, they were usually going to a Clinton Foundation thing somewhere in Africa.
Yeah.
So like they're like, oh, we can actually link these flights to legitimate charitable trips that, you know, yeah, and I can see a level of skeeziness. So, oh, we'll take my billionaire friend's pussy jet, you know? But sorry, that's
that was actually a pretty good in thing.
Oh, thank you. But Trump, it's like he didn't have no fucking charitable foundation, and he's on that thing. It was something like 28 times or something like that.
There's video, literally a video that came out like this week of him and Epstein in a room full of women talking hot shit, apparently, and like
Yeah, and don't forget the story that came out that, you know, when Trump was like his president or a judge and the Teen USA
would just walk into
the girls' dressing rooms and like these contestants are like 15 years old and they're changing and he's saying stuff like you don't have anything I haven't seen before, which I mean it's technically true because he's had children, but it's sort of like, dude, no, you know, so, like what. You're not these people's coach or anything, who would probably be a woman.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's been plenty of incidences where coaches have been molesting their athlete students.
Yeah, yeah.
But, God. It is so ridiculous that, like, yeah, our aristocracy in this country is a mass of drug-dealing pedophiles. And as ridiculous and conspiratorial as it sounds, that's honestly... It's like there's a lot of very powerful white men which are insanely evil and corrupt.
It's that whole power corrupts thing, but it's just... It's really crazy to me how, like, if you have a little bit of money, you start thinking, oh, you know, I can eat out once this week. You have a little more money, you're like, I can buy a new car that doesn't break down constantly. Yeah. And if you have fuck you money, like billions, you're like, I can literally do anything and nobody can touch me. The law can't touch me. So why don't I just fuck a 12-year-old? And I don't know why that seems to be the thing that pops into all of these people's heads is like, well, I have billions of dollars. I could start a homeless shelter. I could pay off the national debt.
I could solve homelessness in the city.
I could fix Flint's water forever. I could fuck some kids. Let's do that. Like, what the fuck? Like, there's so many things I can think of that are good things that are not child fucking, that I would do with like $1 billion, let alone 7 or 10 or however much we're talking about, because at that point, numbers don't matter.
Yeah, the numbers are
imaginary at that point. You know, put half your money in the bank and just let it grow, and you will still have money to fucking pay for everything for the rest of your life. I'm just like,
buy half of West Texas and make a giant gay commune. I mean, that's what I'd do if I won the lotto. I'd just make a big gay commune.
So there would be like segregation, like one half of Texas would be cowboys and the other half would be the gay cowboys.
Mm-hmm. The steers and the queers. So I apologize for the rant there, but honestly, what the fuck, y'all? Like, it's been so wild to see this shit where it's like, yeah, the president is a fascist, rapist, racist, narcissist piece of shit and keeps getting away with it, and the Democrats aren't doing fuck all, and that the people that they actually do have who are like, hey, this is fucked, they're attacking relentlessly.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, just like, it's like our fucking
four horsewomen.
Yes.
You know, the four new Democratic congresswomen that have come out and said, this Donald Trump's a piece of shit and we should impeach him. You know, the establishment is like, oh, slow down there. I mean, we are traditionally not a party that actually does something when someone does something bad, unless they're on our side.
Yeah.
Like, Al Franken, get the fuck out.
Acorn, we fell for a fake video and crushed a grassroots voter registration organization and resulted in us massively losing the next election. But we did the right thing, dumb fuckers. So basically, I hate to say it, but honestly, I really have no faith in the system to get us out of this fucking mess.
Our side sucks and I hate it.
Yeah, it's like, but we have morals and therefore can't join the other side.
I don't have to register to vote. I'm just going to put angry is the party. I'm just going to register angry.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a rough bummer of a time because it's just like all this dumb shit. And it's been like this since 2016. It's given everybody everybody in the world brain damage.
Yeah, like Australia elected some shithead as
Poland has done shit. You know, it's like Italy had some fash. The entire world has lost its collective fucking mind since 2016. You've got all the Brexit shit still happening in the UK. You know, I don't know where we're gonna be in a year, let alone 10. You know, we see these, you know, shifting slightly, these face apps, what you'll look like in 40 years, and I'm like, I'm not gonna live another 40 years. What the fuck? That's fantasy. Like, I hate feeling that pessimistic, but I'm like, yo, I think we might get 20, and then we might all die in a flood, hurricane, earthquake. What do you look like in
40 years? It's just filthy water.
Yeah, filthy water and radiation. And we hear the cackling of Ajax from the other room. He's not laughing at us, but he's laughing nonetheless. So
he's laughing at the absurdity of life.
Like, you know,
he comes
like,
home from work and he just laughs. You know, he's sort of like that one side character is in an episode of Torchwood where it's like, oh, well, he just screams 16 hours a day. Ajax just comes home and laughs all night, laughs himself to sleep.
Oh.
It can be really distracting. We're having soundproofing put around his room.
Smart. So I think that's going to wrap it for this week's episode. We have touched on a lot of things that we wanted to put into this, the podcasting and the furry fandom entryism and the good news from the long-term trans study, and then also the conspiracy theories are kind of real and it sucks. We hope that this has been an enlightening
shit like the moon landing and the flat earth society.
Oh, well, yeah, but like the whole like Pizzagate actually is kind of real, except it's not the Clintons and underground thing. It's more like international billionaires who, like you said, I have fuck you money, what should I do? Oh yeah, let's forget solving the world's problem, let's violate some children. So on that enlightening, inspiring,
let's not end the show on pedophilia.
Okay, so here's something you put in, Fuzz. This is devious, I love it. Man arrested for putting fake arrow decals on the floor in IKEA and creating a labyrinth with no exit.
Yeah, that amused me. I was sort of like, oh, that would piss me off to be in that situation. But reading about it,
kind of funny. It's like following the arrows and you're like, I'm just going in circles. Those stores are pretty labyrinthine.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to the one up in Frisco a few times, and I'm always like, I'm here for one thing, but I still have to wander through the entire fucking store except for, like, a couple shortcuts. Where it's like, you don't have to go through the bedding area.
This conversation will be very relevant to you when you get to the end of the season of Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay. The IKEA thing?
Uh-huh. No spoilers. Just, and I doubt I will remember to remind you of this conversation, but it'll be on here for posterity.
Yeah. I will have to sit down and give that a chance. Also, I watched the first three episodes of Agrasuka season 2.
Right. Yeah.
Holy shit. And I is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That damn little ferret. Fuck him.
Yeah, he is. Oh my god.
Like, just, I saw like one cute piece of porn with him where he's like,
why?
Well, I hadn't seen the season, so I was like,
no, I'm just saying, why would somebody draw that?
Well, I think it was like before it was revealed he was a freak, that like it was Retsuko on a table and he's like going down on her and he's like, am I doing this right, senpai? And then like that went away after people watched the first couple episodes, and that character has like nothing on E621 anymore.
He's just so unfuckable, and entirely because of personality.
It's like, holy shit, this kid.
Yeah, like those first 3-4 episodes were kind of awkward to watch, honestly.
Yeah, I was sort of like, man. So let's see.
But he eventually starts treating people other than Retsuko badly, and then you realize, oh, thank God, it's not a weird stalker thing with just her.
So I'm looking at E621, which is the source of all pornography on the internet. There is 1, 2. That's a butt shot, and he's under underwear. So 3, 4 pieces out of the total of 16, which are pornographic in some manner, and the rest are just, like, character illustrations.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, there was this one pic, and that was, like, after the first episode or so, and then everything else is him being, like, a deranged fuckwit.
Oh, God, just... So, let me end...
like, one of the comics that is pornographic is, like... Finico laughing at his dick.
Oh!
And then, like, oh, hold up, I got a message on my phone. And then, like, it's him angrily tapping away.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, I have seen that one. That's funny. Time out. I've got mail, bruh.
So,
oh, God.
Allow me to end the episode on a positive note. As of this recording, FA is back up.
Yay. So the funny ass thing is that, like, the thing that was breaking FA was apparently the fact that people were not going back and deleting their notifications. So people had, like, thousands and thousands of submissions that were literally clogging the system.
Yeah, which, I mean, if it's someone that's, like, left FA and didn't, like, unfollow everybody or something like that, then they've just been building up. So apparently they're going to go and clear all the subs that are, or all the notifications that are, like, more than a year old.
Scroll left once you read the text.
Okay.
So FA is back in theory, which is funny. I mean, it was down for a little bit.
I have seen this one, but yeah.
It's like they're dirty talking during sex, and 4 hours later is 27 messages from an eye. I did not appreciate you calling me a cum-hungry slut when you were fucking me in the back office. I demand a response in writing of you apologizing and telling me that I am a good boy, not a slut.
We should get Tempo to write that.
And also, well, Tempo did write some stuff, but it was cute stuff with Haida and Finico and Retsuko into a cute threesome-like relationship.
Yes.
With appropriate illustrations to go with it.
Oh, yes.
That was really cute.
Oh, but I found another good...
Anai can get into the wood chipper.
Yeah. Yeah. That is our hot take. Here on Fox and Wolf News.
Also, here's a picture of a pizza delivery person with their dick out. Pizza with extra sausage.
Oh, he's kind of cute.
Yeah, that's kind of cute.
We're now looking at furry porn.
Yeah, it's like we shift from talking about the horrible reality of our political structure, and then we shift to talking about Agrisuko and how Anai has no porn and is a little shit. And then also, here's a piece that somebody replied to and liked in the fan chat saying, oh, that's nice. So then I showed it to you, Fuzz. So did we sufficiently change the tone of the wrap-up so we can end this? Because I have to go home and edit this still.
You edited on pizza delivery boy dick? I'm good.
There we go. Pizza. Extra sausage. All right. So you can find us, southpawscast@gmail.com. You can contact us on the Bird site, southpawscast. You can find us on patreon.com. If you would like to enable us further by giving us some money on patreon.com/southpawscast, you could totally do that. And you can be complicit in our crimes. You can find me on Twitter @SavrinDrake. You can find me on Mastodon @SnoustedOnline, just @Savrin. Find me on Twitch @Savrin. I need to play some more Bloodstained. That game's really good. And Final Fantasy 14 is also good. Fuzz.
Cool. I'm on Twitter @FuzzWolf. You can actually go to fuzzwolf.com. I've put it back up, and it has links to all of my stuff, including all my publishing stuff, which is furplanet.com. As mentioned earlier, we'll be at Furry Siesta this weekend. Yay! And after that, Math at Fermi. The end of August, so we're taking a little bit of a break, and then we'll be hitting the con road again.
Woohoo!
So kind of looking forward to another road trip.
Yep, because after that it's like MFM and then MFF.
Yep.
And then in between there is AFI.
Yes.
Woo! We're out there hitting that furry con circuit.
Yeah!
All right, so on that note, good night.
And bye, books.